to God. Somebody just lift up your hands and your voice and bless this God who has been so faithful to you. Bless this God who has been so good to you. There is none like the God that you serve. We serve a mighty good God, a God who has made himself available. Let's bless him. Bless him for the strength to wait upon him all through today. Bless him. Thank him for the strength. Thank him for the revelation. Thank him for the eyes that was open. Your eyes that was open today. Appreciate it. Come on, somebody appreciate him. Let's give God praise. He's faithful. For his mercy, thank him. For bringing us into a new month of June, thank him. Appreciate him for the new month. Appreciate him. For bringing us into a new month, give him thanks. Give him praise. This is the first Wednesday in the month of June 2021. Give him praise. Give him thanks. He's a good God. He's a good God. Our God is good. Our God is gracious. Mighty is our God. Oh, Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. A time like this is always a time of encounter with God. Whenever God calls his people to fast, it's because God wants to do something unique in their life. It's not just to deprive them of food. No, it's because God wants to do something unique in their lives. Now, we still have two more days to go, tomorrow and Friday. Though we are not meeting as a church, we are meeting individually as families. But I tell you the truth, the same God that is present right now, the same God will be with you tomorrow and Friday.
Amen.
So I want you to pray and receive grace, to go through it with grace and mercy. Not just going through it casually, but taking it serious in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray for yourself and receive grace and mercy. Receive grace and mercy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive grace and mercy in the precious name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we receive grace. Heavenly Father, we receive mercy to go through these 3 days of prayer and fasting, knowing that enlargement shall be our portion. At the end of the day, enlargement shall be our portion. We know that you want to do something. The Bible says you do not call the sons of Jacob to seek you in vain. We are not seeking you in vain. We thank you, Father, because there is the blessing you have prepared for us. We are not seeking you in vain. There is the blessing. We are going to receive the blessing, and all will see that you are a good God, and all will know that you are a good God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Spirit of the living God, we open our hearts to you today. Pour forth your river of life into us. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. Let us see this light today. Let us see the light today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a big clap offering and get seated. Hallelujah. I welcome you to your year for awesome deeds in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you say with me, 2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Will you say that to one person close by you there, or if you are alone by yourself, say it to yourself, one, two, go.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just before we look into the message tonight, I want to bring our attention to fasting and praying. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Fasting and praying is so important in your life as a Christian. It's something you cannot do without. If you are going to attain the promises of God that he has promised for you and I, then fasting is a must. It's not optional. Fasting is not optional for a Christian that wants to make a name with God. Look at it, for instance. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you." that by them you may wage a good warfare. A good warfare. The promises you have received, you need to wage a good warfare to be able to realize it. And I tell you the truth, how can you wage a good warfare without fasting involved in the kingdom? It has to be involved. It must be involved. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. Verse 9, please. Verse 9. He said, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Did you see that? The goodness of God is open unto you, but there are many adversaries. That's why we need to contend with them in battle. Deuteronomy chapter 2, I believe, verse 24. He said, contend with them in battle. There are many adversaries. We need to contend with them in battle. If you are going to enter into your promised land, if you are going to get out of the bunch and become a star, if you are going to get out of the pool and become great, you must contend. You must arise. You must tear up yourself. Very, very important. Do you want the Spirit of God to have His way in your life? Then prayer and fasting is a must. If you want the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life, prayer and fasting is a must. Jesus Christ had to fast and pray. Jesus Christ, when He fasted and prayed, and after that time, the Holy Ghost came upon Him and great things began to happen. Great things. He came to the extent that the demons, they just saw Him and they were running away. There is a place you come to, son, that when demons see you, they will run away. Have you come to destroy us before our time? What have we to do with you? That would be their statement. They flee from you. No matter the evil in that person, that you, when they see you coming, the glory of God is so radiating. It takes praying and fasting. Praying and fasting is a must, a requirement to attain greatness in the kingdom. If you are going to see enlargement in this month of June, then take this praying and fasting period seriously. Amen.
Amen.
Is somebody hearing me?
Yes,
sir. I'm telling you the truth. Whatever, in fact, when you see growth, add fasting and prayer to the growth. Don't just say, oh, growth has come. No, no, no. You fast and pray to sustain the growth, to make the growth constant. It's very, very important. And fasting and praying is a lifelong requirement. It's not something you pray now and say, oh, I finished fasting. No, 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 no. Until I go be with the Lord, it is going to be regular in my life. Because the Bible talks about a woman in the New Testament, Hannah. The Bible says she was 84, but she was in fasting and praying at at age 84. She was in fasting and praying. Solid. So it's a lifetime requirement. Get excited with fasting. Don't say, oh God, another Wednesday again. No, let it be a time of excitement. Because if you see it as a burden, it won't bless you. If you see it as punishment, that's what you will get. But see it as a time of your eyes being opened, revelations being poured into you. Ah, the Bible says, in your light we shall see light. It said, then shall your light break forth. Breaking forth of your light. Your health will spring forth by virtue of fasting. And fasting, praying and fasting, is an opportunity for you to take your place in the kingdom. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, every child has a place in the kingdom. May no man take your place.
Amen.
May no one take your place.
Amen.
Fasting and praying is a requirement to take your place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And it must become, it is part of your redemptive right as a child of God. Jesus said, when the bridegroom is taken away, he said, then they shall fast. And Jesus has been taken away. So this is the time for us to engage in fasting and praying. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And one final thing before we go into the message tonight that I will say to you is that praying and fasting gives you command over the affairs of this world. It gives you command over the affairs of things. Praying and fasting puts you in charge. It puts you in charge. The devil is not in charge when you are praying, when you are fasting. He puts you in charge. You are in charge. You are in command of things. So you can see that fasting and praying is not optional. It is not optional, please. The Lord God bless your effort as you put in these 3 days in praying and fasting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
This month is a very, very unique month. It is our month of season of enlargement. There shall be enlargement in your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Enlargement shall be in your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But remember, we have said that the God that we serve is not a Santa Claus. It's not a Santa Claus. It's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps covenant. Until Jabez encountered God, enlargement didn't come to his life. There's something you have to do with God according to his word that brings enlargement into your life. Our anchor scripture for this month is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3. That's our anchor scripture. And by the grace of God, every Wednesday, we shall be looking at kingdom focus for enlargement. Kingdom focus for enlargement. And then on Sunday, we shall be looking at the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Do not spare at all. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Did you see that? You shall expand to the right and to the left.
Amen.
On all sides you will expand.
Amen.
You will expand financially.
Amen.
You will expand in your health.
Amen.
Opportunities will expand for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But let me say this to us. Laborers are the ones that are going to be expanded. They are the ones that will enlarge. Not supervisors. No. Laborers. Somebody say laborers.
Laborers.
You remember what Jesus said? He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Those that are laboring. Those that are laboring. And when I'm talking of laboring now, I'm talking of laboring in the kingdom. You don't have to be a pastor to labor. In fact, there are some pastors who are not laboring. They are supervisors. And that's why they don't get blessed. Because it is not the supervisor the Bible says will be blessed. But you know something the Bible says? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Jesus said this. He said, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest truly is plentiful, the laborers are few. So when you put yourself among those few laborers, God takes care of you. He enlarges your coast. When you put yourself, because you see, it's a choice. He has called us. He has called every one of us. It is your choice now to put yourself amongst those few laborers. The laborers are few, so God is determined to keep the few laborers alive. He's determined. Now, look at it. If you have a few in your hand, won't you take care of that few? And it is necessary for your assignment? Oh, yes. And that's what God is doing. So make yourself a laborer. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Make yourself a laborer. God promises to take care of the few that are laboring. I think we can find that in John chapter 15, verse 2 or thereabout. Yes, verse 2, I believe. Quickly cross-check that for me, honey. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? It is very, very important. Is right? John chapter 15, verse 2.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit.
Yes.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, it prunes.
That's it. It prunes it. It makes you productive. It takes care of you. The few that makes themselves laborers, it takes care of them. Is somebody understanding that? And I'm saying to you by the Spirit of God, when you make yourself a laborer amongst the few, he says he will make you strong, he will make you healthy, he will make you prosperous. In other words, you are going to be enlarged. That's what God is saying. As you focus on the advancement of the kingdom. Now, look at the Bible, you will discover something. That everyone that stood out, whether man, woman, boy, or girl, everyone that stood out, they were people given to a life of prayer and fasting. They were given to a life of prayer. And they coupled their prayer with fasting. But they were men that prayed. They were men that prayed. They prayed. And if you look at it, these guys were not just praying personal prayers. They were not just praying for chocolate. Oh God, I want this. Oh God, I want that. No, these were not people that, they were not personal. They were not focused on themselves as a person. They were focused on the kingdom of God. Do you want to see enlargement in this season? Then focus on the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Good health. Good family life. Good education. Good finances. Great finances, in fact, shall be added unto you. Honor, dignity. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The time has come for you to put God word first. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Go and read it. Verse 9 to 10 and 11. He said, put God first. He said it there very clearly. When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Focus first on his kingdom. Take his kingdom seriously. We're going to be looking at examples of men and women who took God seriously, focused on the kingdom, and God did great things for them. And then we are going to take some time to pray today. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Every first Wednesday of the month, we are going to be having this supplication that we had now, where we are going to, your personal prayer time, you are going to cry before God. You are going to talk to God on your own. Nobody's leading you to pray. Somebody's just moderating. Hallelujah. First Wednesday of every month, we are going to be doing that. And then we are going to pray as a church. Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Please, do you want to see enlargement? Don't focus on your personal needs. Focus on God. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on his kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Please give attention to what I'm saying right now, because it is very, very important for you. So important for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The first example I want us to look at here of a man who dedicated himself to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Who dedicated himself to the kingdom of God is Abraham. Father Abraham. He was so dedicated to God. He put himself out there for the people, not just for himself. Genesis chapter 18. You begin to read from verse 22 down to 23. Abraham stood in the place of prayer. He encountered Jehovah. After God met with him, God told him, "Shall I hide anything from Abraham? Seeing that he's going to be a great nation, he's going to be a great man and a great nation, and he's going to order his children aright." And he told Abraham what he wanted to do. He said he's going to see the kingdom of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, because their cry have come up to him. And then Abraham started interceding. Abraham stood in the place for that city. Abraham started praying for that city. Abraham started talking. He said, "Lord, if you find 50, will you destroy them? For the sake of 50 good people, won't you spare the place?" He said, "Far be it from you that the Almighty God will destroy the righteous and the wicked." God said, "Abraham, you are right. I will not. If I find 50 people, I will not destroy the city." He said, "Okay, Lord, now that I've taking this upon myself, what of if there's 5 less out of the 50? And he started coming down until he came to a place where he stopped at 10. And God said, "Okay, if I see 10, I will not destroy the city." What was Abraham doing? Abraham was praying. He was interceding. He was communing with God. No wonder Abraham became great. No wonder Abraham became great. In another episode, he heard that they've taken his nephew, Lot. He armed his 318 men to go fight 4 nations. Can you imagine? 318 men pursued 4 nations, went after them. Abraham was a man who was conscious of the souls of others. And that's why God gave him a name. Do you want to see enlargement in this month of June? Then you have to be focused on the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another man we'll look at is Moses. Moses became great because he has a heart for the people. Are you seeing that? Even before the anointing came upon him, he knew that he was born to be a deliverer. And when he saw an Egyptian man harassing a Jewish man, he went over there and killed the Egyptian. To tell you his heart for souls, for the kingdom, for the people of God. And finally, in the wilderness, when he was leading the people, suddenly the people committed a very great sin. And God said, "I'm going to wipe them away. I'm going to eradicate all of them. I'm going to kill all of them. And I will make a nation from you, Moses." What was Moses' response? Moses' response said, "Oh God, please. Then the other nations that you did, all the other nations, they will say it's because you were not able to bring them to the promised land. That's why you killed them. Oh God, please. In fact, God, if you will not forgive their sins," Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. He said, "God, if you will not forgive their sins, then take me away from your book. Take me away from the book of life. Don't, my name shouldn't be." Can you imagine that? No wonder Abraham had a place with God. Moses had a place with God. Became so great. Became so great in Israel. Please, people of God, if you are going to make a mark, focus on the kingdom. Focus on the kingdom. Pray for the kingdom of God. Spend a minimum 1 hour praying for the kingdom of God. Oh God, pour forth your spirit upon this land. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 is a good place to pray. And then if you go through our programs, the program we sent out every service, you will see scriptures upon scriptures that you can use to pray. Before you know it, 1 hour is gone. The reason people find it difficult to pray is because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to say. But with those scriptures, you see it there, you begin to pray, and your mind is not wandering because you have what you are praying with. You are speaking the words, communing with God. That's why you see here, not because we are this many, that's why we are praying. Even when we come to a place of multitudes, we'll still be praying this prayer. This kind of prayer, we are still going to be praying it. Thy kingdom come. Save souls, O God. O God, send your reaper angels. We are still going to be, because it is the will of God. He says, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come. Seek here first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is the way of God, and it is the way of blessings, people of God. It is the way to be blessed beyond measure. I'm showing you people now that focused on God. These people I'm showing you, none of them focused on their personal needs when they became great. Next, we look at Solomon. Solomon was a man that was consumed with the kingdom of God. Solomon was so consumed with God. When he came to the throne, the Bible says he gave God an offering that God had to come down because of the offering that Solomon gave. The kind of offering he gave was so outstanding that nobody had given that kind of offering before. And it came from his heart. That's why your offering must come from your heart, with gratitude that God is the one that gave it to you in the first place. God came down and said, Solomon, what do you want? And if you read that scripture, you will discover that Solomon did not ask for any personal things. He had enemies as at that time. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He did not. What was it that Solomon prayed? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. As you focus this month on the kingdom of God, not just this month, for the rest of your life, God will keep enlarging you and enlarging you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
He will keep enlarging you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 3. The Bible says, and your servant is in the midst of your people. I want you to take note. He kept emphasizing your people. He kept emphasizing God's kingdom. That's what it means. You have chosen a great people. Did you see that? A great people. Too numerous to be numbered or counted. Verse 9. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, your people. He was concerned about the people of God, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge these great people of yours? Did you see that heart? And God said, wow. The Bible says God was pleased with what Solomon asked. He focused on God's kingdom. No wonder he was enlarged. God enlarged him that there was no king like him in the Old Testament. No king like him. No one like him. He was blessed beyond measure. Enlarged beyond measure. Why? He focused on God. And if you watch his father, the same thing. When his father was going to fight Goliath, his concern is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? You see that? He was concerned, again, about the kingdom of God. Everyone that is great in the Bible, they were men and women, their focus was on the kingdom advancement, to advance the kingdom. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If you can't go out to win souls, you can pray. Nobody stop you from praying. In fact, the message of today is for you to pray that the kingdom of God will advance. Pray. Nobody stops you from going out. But you can pray. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then, finally for today, we'll look at this man called Nehemiah. A man that had a heart for God. A man whose heart was panting for God. Nehemiah was a cupbearer or a butler. That's who he was. But from focusing on the kingdom of God, he became a governor. Not just becoming a governor, God so blessed him that he did not use the provision of the governors for his upkeep. He used his personal provision to supply for him and the people that were staying in his house. If you read the number of animals that were killed to feed the people in his house on a daily basis, you will be amazed. And he said that he did not take the provision for those of the governors to feed the people. God so blessed him, an ordinary man. He was so enlarged. He became a governor without election. He didn't compete for it. He didn't go for it. Listen to me. The Bible is the way of God in written forms. He said he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. When you know the way, you will be in commands of the acts. When you know the way, and one of the ways is what I'm telling you today, to be focused on God's kingdom. Focus on the advancement of God's kingdom. You want to advance the kingdom. Your heart moves for the kingdom of God. Just like your heart moves for your wife, your spouse. Just like your heart moves for your children. Like your heart moves for your parents. The same way you focus, your heart needs to move for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you the truth. What can I do, Lord, to move the kingdom of God forward? It's a question you need to ask yourself. You don't need to be young to do great things. You don't need to be old to do great things. You only need a heart for God to do great things. Whether you are young or old, it's irrelevant. David was 17 years old when he brought down Goliath. And became the chief of army staff of the entire nation of Israel. Please, have a heart for God. Have a heart for God. Lord, I want to... Look, you see, it is the quickest way for... Look, see, now look at this pulpit. Look at this pulpit now. As I'm pushing the pulpit is going forward. Am I not going forward with it?
You are.
I am. As he's going forward, I'm also going forward. It's the same way. As you are pushing the kingdom of God, you are also going forward. You need to know that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be God. So, let's look at Nehemiah quickly. That's where we're rounding up today and we're taking time to pray. Glory to God. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 1, please. Let's begin from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Quickly, if somebody's there, I'm not there. If somebody's there, help me read it. Read it quickly. Verses 2 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Please, if you are
that
there.
Finally, one of my brethren came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews.
Go ahead.
Who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven.
Did you see that? When he heard these words, he was concerned. He was moved. He started praying. That's the first thing to do. He fasted and he prayed. To mourn there means fasting. And prayed for the kingdom of God. Before he could even think of the solution, he first of all prayed. prayed heavily. Oh God, pour out your spirit upon this land. Pour out your spirit upon this land. Let your mercy erupt in this land. Let your grace overflow in this land. God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I stand today to ask you for an outpour of your spirit. Oh God, it is your spirit that makes the difference. Lord, pour forth your spirit on this land. What are you doing? You are pushing the kingdom of God forward. That's what you are doing. That's what you are doing. Lord, let your spirit rest upon pastors in this land. Oh, let your word come forth on all pulpits to strengthen the brethren, that the brethren will become forces to reckon with in this land. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Quickly read it, sir.
And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it."
Did you see that? Now he said, "I was greatly afraid," because to be sad in the presence of the king is death according to their law. But he did not know, because he was consumed of the kingdom of God. He was so consumed. And he spoke to the king, and the king granted him his desires. God will grant you your desires.
Amen.
God will grant you your desires.
Amen.
Please, take note of what I'm saying. And from a cup bearer, a butler. We all know what a butler is. This man became the governor of Jerusalem. Chapter 5, verse 14. Look at that. He said, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions." Did you see that? That man, a cupbearer. Look, listen to me. What I'm telling you now will take you out of the ordinary and put you into the extraordinary. Making God your focus, making the advancement of his kingdom your focus, puts the extra on your name. It puts you on the extra in front of your name. You are ordinary today. The extra comes and you become extraordinary. That's what happened to Abraham. That's what happened to David. In fact, David was forgotten in the bush. When matters of nationality, of the nation, was being talked about, he was forgotten. But not by God. A man whose heart is panting after God. That's where you are going.
Amen.
That's where you are going.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
So please, praying for the advancement of the kingdom is your life insurance. Let me say that. It's your life insurance. You know, in this part of the world, there's insurance in everything. I'm telling you the truth. If you get involved with God in this, it becomes your life insurance. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before we take the communion tonight, we are going to pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to sit, sit. If you want to stand, stand. But I beg you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you need to pray. You need to pray. Somebody hear what I'm talking about. You need to pray. And be focused on your prayer. Be focused, please. Be focused. Put God in front of you. Let God be in front of you. In these few moments, before we take the communion, we are going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now we are praying. We are asking God to, Lord, revive my prayer life. That's the first prayer point. Lord, revive my prayer life in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. This is not a personal prayer. This is a prayer where you are praying and calling on God. Revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Father, I'm asking that you revive my prayer life. Oh, that I will become like Jesus, that I will pray like Jesus prayed. That I will pray like Jesus prayed. Oh God, revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Come on, somebody pray. Revive my prayer life. Call upon the God of Israel to revive your prayer life. Your prayer life need to be revived. Your prayer life need to be revived. All this praying and sleeping, enough of it. Enough of it. God, I need grace. God, I need mercy. I need your mercy. Oh God, I need your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask for your mercy right now that I be full of power in my prayer. Full of power in my prayer. Full of power in my prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life. Oh, I'm asking for the oil of God. I'm asking for the oil of God. Oh, I'm asking for the oil of God that I will burn in my prayer chambers, that I will burn for Jesus. Oh, God of mercy, revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life. Medroba sasia beratos. Oh, revive my prayer life, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I'm asking you that you will revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I'm asking that my prayer life be revived. Let my prayer life be revived, oh God of my salvation. I'm asking that my prayer life be revived. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let there be fire upon my altar. Let there always be fire upon my altar. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh God of mercy, I'm asking for fire. Let there be fuel. Let there be fuel in my spirit. Let there be fuel in my spirit. Let there be fuel in my spirit. Somebody ask God for fuel, because if there's no fuel in your car cannot move. If there's no fuel in your car cannot move. Ask God for fuel in your spirit. Ask God for fuel in your spirit. Ask God for fuel in your spirit, that your prayer life will take on a new dimension. That your prayer life will take on a new dimension. Oh God of mercy, we ask, Lord, that you transform our prayer lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We'll pray the other prayers during the month, but we're going to be praying every Wednesday for this month in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Will you rise up to your feet as we take the communion? Rise up to your feet. Or just before we take this communion, I want to speak to those that are listening to this message. You want to give your life to Jesus. That's when your prayers will be answered. The only prayer that God can answer from someone who is not in the kingdom is, God, forgive me. My Father, forgive me. That's the only prayer that God will accept. So you want to pray this prayer? You want Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins? He's willing. The Bible says he's knocking at your door. He stands at your door to knock. If you will open the door, he will come in. Right now, he's knocking. At your door right now is knocking. You want to give your life to Jesus? Why not pray this prayer before me? With your hands lifted up, your right hand, and pray this prayer with me. Just say this prayer with me. Dear God, I come before you just as I am. Forgive me my sins. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask that your good hand will rest upon your son, will rest upon your daughter, will rest upon your child. Let your hand be upon them perpetually. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Come on now, let's get prepared for the communion. In First Kings chapter 19, we saw there in verse 7 and 8 that an angel brought food for Elijah to eat. And Elijah went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Only did you hear that? For 40 days. He went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Now, considering you now eating the flesh and the blood of Jesus, what he will do for you and I. Think of what he will do for you and I. The flesh and the blood of the Son of God, what it will do for you and I. If the food of angels took Elijah 40 days strength, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your hands and speak to God before we take the communion. Oh, speak to God before we take the communion today. Speak to God before we take the communion. The Bible says, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the living Father. So in the same way, he who feeds on me lives because of me. As we take the communion today, whatever is not of God that is operating in your life, every dream that they are pursuing you in the night, today is the end of it. I want you to pray that prayer. Today, whatever is the cause, whatever is the root, they are flushed out of my life. They are flushed out of your life. Flushed out completely. Flushed out. Every form of sickness, every form of disease is flushed out by the blood of Jesus. As you take the communion tonight, the grace of God will bring enlargement into your life. The grace of God will bring enlargement into your life. And you will know indeed that this is your season of enlargement. You will know that this is your season of enlargement. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for the table in every location where we are gathered right now. We thank you for the table. We bless this bread and the wine. We receive it as the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Same for every table. Receive it and receive your season of enlargement in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Take and eat and drink in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
If you are finished doing that, lift up your hands and begin to bless the God of your salvation. Give him praise. Give him thanks because he's a good God. There's freshness of energy in your spirit right now.
Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God.
Freshness of grace
Thank you, mighty
right now.
God.